Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today is day two of live casting from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. And to kick off the day, I'm excited to have Jim St. Ledger, Technology Marketing Manager at Intel, and one of my colleagues who's never been on the program before. So welcome, Jim.
Well, thanks, Allison. Yeah, it's been years coming. You and I have chatted and tried to connect and missed schedules, but here we are today.
Exactly. So, Jim, why don't we just start out by talking about what you do at Intel and you know, how the communications infrastructure group has evolved over time to its current form.
Sure. So I've been doing the comms business at Intel for, I guess, probably 15 or so years. So I date back to when we had a network processor line, dedicated comms, silicon chips, et cetera. And over the years, you know, that's ebbed and flowed as we've made business decisions. And where we're at today is effectively we're trying to use multi-core Intel architecture to take on all the communication infrastructure workloads.
We had a series of guests on yesterday who were talking all about NFV, SDN, how the network is transforming,
right.
You know, and the excitement that this represents for the telco industry in particular, because of, you know, that industry simply just doesn't change very often.
Yeah, historically, and what's interesting is, you know, my earliest career days, I worked in the core embedded group. And in the embedded group, you do industrial automation and medical, and then aerospace and defense. And you talk about medical taking years to get FDA approval on devices. Then you talk about military aerospace taking even longer to get in there. And to some degree, I think the telco industry is similar in that they're extremely risk averse. And the risk averse because of us users who would complain very vocally when our phones go down or our mobile devices go down or something else. So their service uptime needs to be what they say five nines, right? 99.999% up all the time.
Well, but there's some interesting things happening in the market with the cloud coming on the scene and cloud right. providers providing network as a service. Can you give the audience a sense of what that's done in your perspective to right. the telcos in terms of, you know, a market threat?
Sure. Well, from the telco side, you know, the biggest disruption right now is network functions virtualization, mm-hmm. right? And it's a concept of taking what historically has been dedicated hardware and typically black box hardware, so you go by a particular function, whether it's a physical appliance or a you know, piece of networking gear or core gear or access gear or what have you, very dedicated, very limited flexibility. Very good at what it does, mm-hmm. but typically very expensive. And that model's worked very well, but if you start, then let's put on our carrier service provider hat for a minute. Right, the explosion of mobile devices, the explosion of smartphones out there, and of course the infinite ability to consume data
right.
from a subscriber viewpoint, and then layer in over-the-top services, which you as a service provider aren't getting any money for.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys continue to get squeezed from a CapEx, OpEx, ARPU, average revenue per user perspective. So they need something new. So a few years back, we got together with some of the other carriers and equipment providers and proposed these concepts that today have founded themselves in Etsy's NFV activities of, hey, what if you could run these same kind of workloads in a virtualized environment and put them on standard high-volume servers? And at first, people sort of said, you know, it's impossible. The first, mm-hmm. you know, the big doubting Thomas is that you couldn't do that. And we, of course, had done a lot of work behind the scenes in our lab with our architects to prove out, well, in fact, you could. And that's been one of my fundamental areas with something called the Intel Data Plane Development Kit, or DBDK, to prove that out.
And I want to get to that in a second, because what you've said is really interesting. So we're basically taking the same model that we provided to data centers about
right.
10 years
yep,
ago
exactly.
with the introduction of Xeon systems. And I've been at Intel too long, I guess, because
right.
I remember when people would laugh at us about,
sure.
you're never going to replace RISC. You're never
yep.
going to
yep.
replace that. These things are not secure enough. They're not whatever. Well, we've seen what history has proven in terms of the volumes of Xeon processors running the world's data centers today. But the servers that we're recommending for this are not exactly the same servers that would run an enterprise workload. We've actually developed some specific technology to address the needs of this particular type of work.
Yeah, correct. And I'll say two things, and I'll start actually with the second one first. And that is that across the network, there's needs for various levels of processing performance, mm-hmm. right? And as a result of that, our work scales from Atom to Core to Xeon class solutions. Now, everybody loves the fastest, highest performance stuff, so you typically see us showcase Xeon-level platforms to show that. But at the same time, I just got back from the NEC booth, and they were showcasing solutions based on one of our Atom platform products called Rangely.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of gets to what you just talked about you know, uniqueness for the comm space, and that's an element of hardware acceleration where it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a technology called Quick Assist Acceleration Technology. Of course, we could just call it Quick Assist in our world. And Quick Assist is designed to provide hardware acceleration for specific functions where it's needed to add a little bit extra over what you might do in software. For example, things like cryptography, compression, and pattern matching, regex type of activities.
So technologies that are very important for the comms arena, but an enterprise, unless they're using it for comms, probably wouldn't
right.
use that technology.
Right.
Now, let's talk about DPDK, because everybody's talking about DPDK.
Right.
What is it? Is it an industry standard technology like NFV?
Sure.
You know, what is this about?
Okay, so DPDK, the long name, of course, is Data Plane Development Kit. It's something we've been working on now for probably 5 years or so. As I mentioned earlier, once upon a time, we did network processors. And again, network processors are fabulous for fixed function packet movement, but you really can't do anything else with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, how do you get more flexibility in your system? And of course, Intel architecture is all about flexible workloads. But the challenge we got into in the comm space, they have to make sure their workloads can handle various packet sizes, including small packets. And small 64-byte packets are what always been the, I'll call it the bane of Intel's existence in the comm space. And it's largely because of software. It wasn't necessarily because of hardware. It was the software architectures implemented. And that's where DPDK comes in. So we looked at the bottlenecks in networking stacks and what was available in the standard Linux networking solution. And we effectively created a set of libraries that would optimize those for memory management, lockless rings, lockless queues, ring structures, polymode driver mechanisms, et cetera, to increase the throughput and speed rate for packet workloads 10x to 25x, depending on your implementation.
Nice.
So tremendous, tremendous improvement. And of course, if you look at an NFV implementation, you just take this and run a couple of data plane virtual machines with DBDK, and you're getting this high throughput rate ready to go for NFV implementations.
So that's pretty fantastic. And you know, I've heard about all this stuff before. What's interesting about this Mobile World Congress, and I want to know what you think about this, is it seems like we've been talking about the technology. You know, I remember coming to Mobile World Congress last year and hearing about NFV
right.
as a new concept that the industry was embracing. I think that the white paper had come out a few months before. Where are we? You know, you've been working in this space a long time.
Yeah.
Where are we with all of this stuff in terms of the adoption curve?
So this is something I'm unbelievably excited about, so cut me off when I go on too long mm-hmm. here. But so, you know, the ETSI white paper on NFV came out, I think it was October, November of 2012. So last year, a year ago today, was sort of the first, let's call it the big public coming out party for NFV. And you saw a few people talking about it, but it felt like it was more hype than it was real. Well, here we are a year later, and let me walk through a couple of data points. So this morning, Klaus Patterson of HP's telecom server group got up and talked about their solutions. And when I talked to him after, he said, you know, there's some things that we're ready to go to trial and start, you know, commercial deployments if you're ready. Things like virtual EPC. Mm-hmm. There's other things like virtual RAN that still need a little bit more work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's someone who's ready for some commercial deployments. Monday, out in our showcase here, we had Cassidy Shield from Alcatel-Lucent, who, of course, just announced their cloud band activity, which is virtualizing IMS, EPC, and RAN also. And they're ready to go on trials. If you go over the NEC's booth here, which I actually just got back from a few minutes ago, they're showing virtual EPC, Virtual RAN as well. And they're ready to go into trials and deployments with people. And then the last one, SK Telecom, that we're also working with. In fact, Winrover is also a software partner in that platform. They're showing virtual EPC, virtual RAN, and virtual IMS there as well. So the point I'm really trying to make is it's become, you know, in the span of a year and a half, maybe 2 years if you add in the sort of pre-work that wasn't public at the time, we've gone from an idea, a concept, to, hey, we've got some solutions. Carriers, let's come try this out and get some trial deployments out there.
And it sounds like some carriers are saying, yeah, let's get it in into our labs.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I don't remember off the top of my head the number of carrier trial deployments we have, but there's several for sure globally. The other really interesting thing we've seen, and this is something I don't think you'd traditionally see in the comms, is that it's happening around the globe. Mm-hmm. Every geography has trials in it. You know, historically, you'd say, well, the geos that are growing the fastest, so China's a typical example, right? Because they're building infrastructure so rapidly as the country continues to progress. That's a place, obviously, will adopt leading-edge technology because they have the opportunity. But we're seeing trials in Europe and North America as well. So it's really taken hold.
So, you know, the one question that I have, because you've worked in this space a long time, you know, what do you think is driving the fact that this industry that you've described as being very slow to change has opened up its arms to at least trials of this technology? Is it just that the value proposition is that strong?
I think it's the two sides. It's the value proposition is that strong. I think the equipment providers and the full ecosystem that's making it possible has really taken to the cause as an opportunity, frankly, an opportunity for them to go and disrupt their competitors or proprietary implementations. And the other side, the carriers have just been squeezed so much on the CapEx, OpEx, and revenue side of it. They need help. And they're embracing this as, you know, maybe saying the Holy Grail is a little bit too far, but certainly as a great path forward for them to give them the flexibility and an opportunity to be able to roll out services and capture some money.
So if you look out next year, trials start now, are ongoing right now. What do you think is going to be the big news in 2015?
Well, so I'll tell you what I'd like to see as a big news, and I believe it probably won't be that far off, would be some people talking about full field deployments.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't place any bets as to where that'll be first. Certainly, you know, our friends in China are very, very aggressive. Korea is very aggressive on this front. But I think the carriers in Europe and North America are as anxious to go and implement these types of solutions as anyone. So I expect next year we'll actually start hearing about some field deployments.
So this
beyond
is
trial.
This is an exciting area to be watching in 2014. Probably no area of the data center is undergoing such fundamental change. And I think you would say carrier
right.
networks.
Yep.
But this technology is really exciting, and it obviously will have some implications, not just to telcos, but to the enterprises and customers that are connecting to these networks. Jim, I know that you're very active on Twitter. Do you want to tell the audience where they can follow the conversation?
Sure. Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Intel_Jim. Look for me there. I also recommend our Vice President General Manager, Rose Schooler, is also on Twitter as Rose Schooler. It's Rose, then S-C-H-O-O-L-E-R. Rose always has some interesting observations about the comms industry and the conversations she has with executive staffs of carriers, equipment providers, etc.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program, Jim. I would love to have you back soon. This
Terrific.
Is a great topic to be talking about this year.
I look forward to it, Allison. Thanks.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.